I wonder if you saw Four Corners last night. It took an in-depth look at the failure of a dam wall in Brazil. And when this dam wall burst, it released 50 million cubic meters of waste, and that then flooded a village called Bento Rodrigues. We saw firsthand what had happened there, the way that people had had to run from this because they had no formal warning, and we saw the way that the lives of people in those villages had been turned upside down. We also saw, or heard rather, from the engineer who designed that dam wall, and he said that it was expanded and more waste was put in it than it was originally designed for, but when he expressed those concerns, he felt like maybe they fell on deaf ears. Joaquim Pimenta was his name, and he spoke to Ben Knight last night. Here's a little of what he told him.
So Marco says it followed all of Joaquim Pimenta da Vila's recommendations, but in a sworn statement to Brazil's federal police, he says that when he tried to check on progress at the dam, he couldn't get a straight answer from the company.
Is it your view that if your recommendations had been followed back then, that this may not have happened?
If the observations show that the water level is raising, they have to drill wells and pumping out to lower the water level until 20 meters below that. With that condition, I am convinced that you will not have liquefaction then.
And not the catastrophic collapse that happened
of course,
in November.
Of course.
It could have been prevented.
Yes.
It was interesting viewing for me. It was also interesting viewing for Robin Chappell. He's the Greens member of the Upper House for Mining and Pastoral Region, and he's had a bit of experience in looking at tailings dams here in Western Australia. Robin Chappell, good morning.
Good morning, Joseph.
What was your response to last night's report?
Look, I had to say it, I wasn't at all surprised. Tailings dams have approximately double the failure rate of any other impoundment or above-ground impoundment structure. And there have been many reports by UNEP and other people over years, including, interestingly enough, the Department of Mines here, that you really shouldn't actually have anything downstream of a tailings dam. Now, for your listeners' perspective, I think we need to actually explain what a tailings dam is and how it actually impacts. A tailings dam is very, very fine ground material which is pumped into a reservoir, which is what we call the dam, in an aqueous slurry. It retains water by its very nature. For example, the old handmade tailings dams in Kalgoorlie were actually eventually taken down, and after 100 years in being in situ, they were still wet in the middle. So the fluidity of the tailings dam, even though you might be able to walk across the surface, has got enough moisture in it that if there is a break, through all sorts of reasons, the tailings system, which looks solid, then suddenly becomes fluid again. Now, whether it be this particular dam at Samarco's, or whether it was the Baia Mare Dam in Romania, or many others around the world which have burst, they're always risky. And the type of tailings dam that we have in this case was one that was for iron ore. So we were getting iron out of the ground in a mix, and we were extracting the iron ore to make pellets, and then the waste, which was this fine ground slurry, was being put into this tailing structure. Now, iron ore doesn't often do this, so it's quite it's not a normal practice in iron ore. You find it in gold, you find it in copper, uranium. Those are the sorts of main things that have what I call real big tailing structures. Now, in Western Australia, for example, we've got about 600 square kilometres under tailings dams. So they're not some small thing that goes on. Now, I've done a few studies of these. I worked on a project for the former minister where we evaluated a number of mines with tailings dams, and we made recommendations that we needed to have better management here in Australia. Where I really come to is that Australia most probably, in a global sense, has some of the best constraints around tailings dams design and management. The problem is that we don't take overseas the same standards. And in this case, you had BHP and Vale operating through a management corporation, Samarco, and Samarco works within the constraints of that nation, and because mining is about economy, you will go invariably to your lowest requirement that is required by the country you're operating in. And we've pushed in the federal parliament for years for mining companies, Australian mining companies that operate overseas, to actually be required to operate in those countries to the same standards we apply here in Australia. Mm. Having said that, in 1995, I think it was, the federal government produced a best practice for tailings dams, tailings containment. And what was really interesting, at the time that was produced, none of the tailings dams in Australia actually met the standard. Now, I was actually very in a lucky position that I actually got hold of one of the consultants' reports that had indicated early on in the development of Samarco Dam that indeed, again, a little bit of an explanation. When you put a tailings dam on the surface of the planet, it actually gets what we call a water mound in it, connected to the underground aquifer. So you sort of get this, the aquifer running along 10 metres below the surface, and then you get a bump where it goes up inside the tailings dam and then comes down the other side. Now, it's shown in those documents that the level of moisture was so great in the tailings dam that the actual surface of the dam wall was wet. Now, that's something you can't have happen, because the idea of the dam wall is that it's usually made up of tailings itself, solidified, dried tailings. If that becomes wet and starts to move, suddenly your half-set blancmange, if I put it in that sort of context, becomes fluid and it all runs out literally as a liquid. Mm. And that's clearly what happened out there in Brazil. Terrible instance. But it's not an unusual occurrence, unfortunately.
So is it your view that BHP is a part, you know, they went halves with Vale, roughly, in funding this mine managed by Samarco. Are they responsible for the failure of Samarco to maintain the tailings dam?
Look, yes. There are problems here, because you end up with when you actually have another organisation or another company running your project for you, you tend to be hands-off. Now, that doesn't absolve Vale or BHP in any way, shape or form, but they can argue we were not aware of what Samarco were up to. Now, we know that a number of the directors of Samarco have had arrest warrants put on them for failing due diligence and to carry out. Now, BHP will investigate that, as the program said last night, and BHP are going to be liable for the cost. There's no two ways about that. But I think invariably what happens in these sorts of things, BHP and Vale will be able to say, well, we didn't know the Samarco were bending the rules or not following the guidelines. And therein lies a problem, that when you operate overseas, to operate through a third party in another nation is quite often an accident waiting to happen.
The other component of this story, which was under the spotlight, is the response in the aftermath, Robin Chappell. We saw that Samarco has been charged with providing that response on a frontline kind of level, and although there are apparently some BHP staff on the ground. But when the reporter Ben Knight went and spoke to people, we heard that there was a woman who was dragged kilometres in the mud, who was pregnant at the time, and she miscarried. And while they had been handing out compensation of around $35,000 to families who'd lost someone. They were refusing to compensate her. We also saw that a man was told he can live in the top story of his house, despite the fact that the bottom story was only held up by sticks. There seemed to be fairly major problems with the way that Samarco was responding to the damage that had been created.
Yeah, and look, I think therein, again, that's exactly the same problem. BHP and Vale are trying to operate through a third party. And that's a problem for BHP. It doesn't absolve the issues. Quite clearly, Samarco and the Brazilian government need to really do some work on the ground to resolve the problems being felt by all these people. It was a disastrous situation. We have had tales down where 230-odd people have been killed in one hit. So it wasn't a catastrophe in that level, but the follow-up has been extremely poor. Now, whether you can sheet that back to Vale and BHP, who are still trying to operate through Samarco.
Well, shouldn't they, if they are the company that bears responsibility, if they have said we will come and help, shouldn't they be across that and ensuring that a human kind of delivery of that compensation is being managed so that women who've miscarried aren't being told, well, too bad, your unborn child wasn't actually alive?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think those are the issues that BHP and Vale need to take front and centre and need to be going in there. I would hasten to add that you've got a litigious process going on in Brazil, which may be impeding BHP's and Vale's issue of trying to get involved. Obviously, with Samarco, their management now basically under arrest, Samarco can't cope any longer. So I would suggest that BHP and Vale need to take a much more proactive role by going and talking to the government and saying, look, this is a mess, Samarco's not handling it, we're going to take it over from here. Now, whether the Brazilian government will actually listen to them or not, but that would be my what I would think that they need to do in this case.
Robin Chappell, thanks very much for your time. We'll have to watch and see what that response is. I was...